Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Thank you so much for joining us right here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media. This is a program, Movers and Shakers, and of course, as usual, we always have a phenomenal personality to talk to at this juncture, and tonight it is no different. I've got a phenomenal woman that I'm going to be talking to this evening, and this is none other than Mrs. Geraldine Eve Matella. Okay, so let me take this opportunity to welcome her to the show. Ma'am, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm pretty excited to be here. It's been a long time coming. We've been planning. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that we finally had this.
Wow, surely it has been a long time coming. Trust me. So maybe some of you might not know her. You might want to really know. So who's Geraldine Eve Matella? So tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us, your background. Okay, what you do, where you grew up. Kind of family you grew up in, yeah, and now so that now I have Mrs. Matella. Okay. So give us Geraldine. All right, yeah.
So I grew up in Kwekwe. Most of my life, hi people from Kwekwe. Yes, I'm a proudly Kwekwe person.
Okay.
I was at school in Kwekwe, and then I think I got introduced to Adventism when I went to Lower Adventist School for my A level.
Okay.
And I guess they stole me. I don't know anything else. College.
Yeah, I want to know all that.
All right. I did my college at Midland State University, and I had to do my master's at Chinoy University, my master's in business intelligence. And I worked at several organizations, including the Daily News, Ministry of Education. Until I decided, I've always wanted to have a company. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was young, my grandmother used to have like a small stall outside the house. So she'd make us go and sit there and sell. Mm. And sometimes would go kurink, kunotenga sama frisits. So that entrepreneurship thing has always been in my blood. Okay. And at 17, I registered my first company. Hmm. We came up with my friends, and we wanted to have a stock-taking company. It didn't take off, but the fact that we actually registered, and I've got papers to prove that we did it. Hmm. But after 17, going to college, came back from college, and got a good job, and hmm. I was relaxed.
Okay.
I used to think about it. Oh, yeah. And I used to do, even at college, I had side gigs. Mm-hmm. I used to sell samosas. And unfortunately, just before I went to college, my mother's house got burnt down and she had lost everything. Mm. So when I was going to college, she'll tell me, you know what? I've paid fees and this is money for transport. And that's all we have, Mwanangu.
Mm.
Then I decided, if I want anything else, I have to make sure that I've got something.
Okay.
So I started selling cakes. I started selling samosas. So every day I'd go and buy a full cake from this lady who used to make nice chocolate cakes.
Okay.
And I'd slice it up into about 20 or 30 slices, depending on the size of the cake that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd sell them at $1.
Mm-hmm.
And every evening I'd come back, make samosas. So for people who didn't want sweet things, I'd have savory things.
Mm-hmm.
I actually started with samosas, and people were like, we don't like chili things. And I'm like, okay, no, don't worry, I got a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I started also doing cake.
Okay.
So I did that for my first year and my second year. And my second year, we got MSU had a, I think it still has a policy where they still have the program where they have one tuck shop for students.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant for students, so you get there and you apply for the tuck shop. So I applied for the tuck shop, and I think I was the only girl who got a tuck shop, because they have like several tuck shops that they give to students.
Mm-hmm.
Rent free.
Okay.
It's an entrepreneurial thing that they do to encourage entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So I did that. I got my capital from my cakes and my samosas.
Mm-hmm.
So second year I had a tuck shop. It was nice. I was making money.
Okay.
So then I went for attachment. And after that, so back to work, I got relaxed. I had a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I used get enough money and stuff. But in the back of my mind, it kept on. And I had a friend called Francis. And we used to say, today, we're going to register our company. We're going to register our company today. And we would have our papers in our desks.
Okay.
And we'd talk about it every day that we're going to register companies, but we never did.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, new management, new people, we did not really get along. We really didn't get along well. I got fired. Then the dream came back. At first, it was anger and disappointment, thinking that I don't want to work for anyone else. I don't want to be in such a position where someone has the power to let me go. So I think that being fired lit up a fire in me to start again. And with time, I repurposed my papers and I started 143 Communications. I started in 2014. Yes, and now we're in 2022. It means that we're doing something right.
All right. So, yeah. Of course, I'm thinking the hustling thing has always been in you.
Yeah.
All right. So, getting into this space now, I'm sure 143, you guys do with what? Media? What kind of stuff do you do with?
All right. Basically, we're a digital media company.
Okay.
So, when we started 143 Communications, people didn't understand. I think even OK did not have a Facebook page.
Okay.
I remember going to these big organizations and telling them that, you know, digital is the future. You guys, we need to take you on social media. And so we grow brands on the digital space. We do social media management on behalf of companies. We do website developing. We do software development. And mobile applications. So anything to do with building brands. Mm-hmm. So public relations, but online. Okay. So anything to do with building brands, but online. Online brand building. Yeah.
Online.
Yeah.
All right. So I remember seeing one caption on one of your posts, and you say that to you, this is more than just a job. You are really passionate about lifting brands.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did that come about? I'm like, how come you seem like you're so passionate about this job from what I'm seeing?
Yes, I am passionate about growing brands because there is something that this a feeling that you can't explain. I remember we had one client that we started with, it was Diamond Pharmacy. They had one branch and they were just opening a second branch. But now they've over 7 branches across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I've been part of that growth. Mm-hmm. There is something about that you know that this guy's... And I actually have a client called the Battery Warehouse, where when they started, I think they had about 3 branches. Now they're over 14, 15 branches. And they always say to me, Geraldine, whatever happens, no matter how much even... there's been times when I have completely lost it and I have made big mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they've said, we'll never let you go because you grew with us. When no one else believed in us, you came, you believed in us, and you helped us grow our brand.
Mm.
So that feeling of being part of something big, that you're just... that you... I think it's a fulfilling feeling. I'm passionate about lifting people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone who's around me knows that I do my best to help people. If you're in a situation and I can be of help, you will definitely see me there.
Mm-hmm.
If there is somewhere that I can refer you, that I think this person will be the best to help you, I will refer you there because I believe that there is so much room at the top.
Mm-hmm.
There is not. I'm not the only one who's supposed to be at the top.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other people. Everyone has a right to be at the top.
Okay.
And we don't have to fight for the space. We have to open the space to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's a pipe dream. I don't know.
All right.
But I just feel that there is so much room at the top and we are all capable of getting there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. And then I'm thinking, Are you making a killing out of this? Like, are you really getting, like, well paid up? Is this an industry where if I want to get in, I'm guaranteed that I'll get the money?
I wouldn't use guaranteed. But we are doing all right. Okay. Yes, some months are better than others. And there are some things that happen. We stay in Zimbabwe after all. Mm-hmm. Because this is one thing that I can tell you, is that I've had to start all over, over and over again. Mm. Because you get to a certain stage and then you just wake up, oh, that money that we're no longer using US dollars, we're now introducing bond notes. And then you have to start all over again. Mm-hmm. You come in the rate, maybe you charge people rate 650 and at the end of the month it's like 800. Mm-hmm. You go a few steps backwards. But one thing that I'm always telling people is that, well, I started in 2014, I'm in 2022, mm-hmm. I'm still here. Mm-hmm. It means that I'm doing something right.
Okay.
Yes, we are eventually going to make a very, very big killing out of it.
Okay.
Because we are planning on being the largest digital agency in Africa.
Mm.
So definitely you're not going to see me. You'll see me in a Lambo.
Okay, I like the vision right there. I like the vision. And then also, do you have to have a certain qualification for someone to do what you are doing at the moment?
To be honest, no. You just have to be someone who understands client needs.
Okay.
And you have to be someone who's willing to work hard. And also, it's not as easy as it looks.
Okay.
It's not about clicking and saying I'm posting and stuff. Mm-hmm. It has to do a lot to being with strategy. Mm-hmm. I always say to people, we go to school to grow up.
Mm.
We go to school to learn how to relate with others.
Mm.
We go to school to network.
Okay.
Because the people that I'm networking with now, I went to school. I can simply call, make a call and say, hi, oh yeah, we went to school together. Do you want to have lunch?
Mm.
And it's easier for me to have lunch with that person because I was with them at college.
Mm-hmm.
So what we learn at school is very little of what we're going to use when we get into the field.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you don't have to have some background qualification. Of course, if you do a communications qualifications, you can still get into this field.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing software development, you can still get into this field. If you're doing, now there are even degrees in digital marketing.
Okay.
You can get into this field. I'm not saying that, but the most important is what you do after school.
Oh, all right.
It's, especially in the digital space,
mm-hmm.
it's constantly changing. My husband is a software programmer.
Mm-hmm.
What he learned at school, he's always on his YouTube channel and learning new stuff about his programming.
Okay.
We're always there. I'm always on the internet searching, okay, fine, what are the new algorithms? How can we make client experience better? Google is my best friend. I always tell my team, and they'll be asking me questions, and I always say to them, even you ask them, I always say to them, Google is your best friend.
Mm.
So Google is my best friend because you have to continuously learn. You can't say, okay, fine, this is what I learned in school, and I'm going to use this to start this business.
Mm.
And you also have, because with business, it's not more about, I can actually run a hospital. I'm not a doctor. I can run a hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Mm.
I can run a surgery.
Mm.
I'll just have to employ the people that can do it.
All right.
So if it's about running the business,
I can
run a hospital, but I need to know how to run it. So you need to at least have some business acumen to know how to run a business, to know what to do when you're running a business. So it's more of, especially I always say that as much as we have a lot of things that we complain about being in Zimbabwe, it has given us a very competitive advantage.
Okay.
We opened in Zambia, and when we go and pitch or when we are talking to people from Zambia, they're so amazed about the things that we say and that we talk about, because the Zimbabwean environment has made us be so innovative. It has made us think on our feet. It has made us come up with solutions there and there. Okay, fine, this is not working. The rate has gone like this, so we need to do this. By the end of the day, everything has settled.
Mm-hmm.
And it has made us to be quick on our feet.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no person in this world that can run a business as well as a Zimbabwean because of the experiences that we've gotten. So as much as we cry about this experience, it's an experience that has built us, that has made us be entrepreneurs. I don't think there is a Zimbabwean that doesn't have a side thing that they're doing. If you're at work, you're probably doing cakes. Or you're probably,
there's always something.
There's always something. Or you're probably selling clothes. Like, skana ndine hembe dzangu. Or, you know, things like that. You're selling chickens. You're not just employed.
Yes.
You're doing something in order to. Yes, people might argue with me. It's okay to have your own opinion. This is my opinion. It's not a fact. But the thing is, what we have to agree to is that Zimbabwe has taught us to be so innovative and to be such in a hustler mode.
Okay.
I we see opportunities everywhere. Like, oh, okay, everyone is wearing blue. I'm going to start selling blue shirts in this complex. People love blue.
Okay.
It's easy for me to see, but if I've got my fellow compatriots, I've stayed in South Africa. I've opened in Zambia. I've stayed in Botswana for quite a while. Talking of Botswana, I actually once went to Botswana and somehow started like a car wash business.
Okay.
So I'd go around with my little bag with the sunlight liquid and say, I'm doing car wash. And I actually made a lot of money.
I'm trying to imagine the picture right now.
And that's not even the funniest part. The funniest part was that at one time I got a job as a Dhaka boy. Like, I was mixing the cement. And I got there and I'm like, I'm looking for I wash cars, but sometimes when I do wash cars, there's times when I don't have any cars to wash. I just need something to complement what I'm doing. And the guy was like, what I want is a Dhaka boy. I'm like, bring it on.
I'm down.
Let's do it. And I did it. I was a Dhaka boy for a month.
Anyway, coming back to you now, okay, away from business for a bit, you seem to share a very, you know, a lot of personal stuff on social media, like personal experiences and all that. Why is it that you don't hold back when it comes to that? You know, because a lot of people are not comfortable sharing their personal stuff on social media, but you just open up, you don't mind, you just share.
This is the thing, I found that pain is a lonely place to be. So I don't want a lot of people to be in pain.
Okay.
I want people to know that whatever they're going through, I share because I want people to know that whatever they're going through, there is someone that has gone through and that has made it out. Maybe not entirely all right, but that has made it out.
All right.
To give someone hope that you might be in this bad situation. And I've said so much because most of the posts that I share, even if some of them are sad, some of them have got this really hilarious post, like people always laugh. I've had people coming to me and saying to me, you know what, every time I'm feeling down, I just go on your wall and it's either I'll get something encouraging or I'll get something that'll make me laugh. Or there's a time I lost my other phone where I used to share a lot of statuses. I would have like memes and stuff, and people will be laughing the whole day in my inbox. That's what I want. I share because I feel, not that I want people to know my business. I share because I feel that there is someone, there is a reason that God made me go through what I'm going through, such that someone can be helped from my experiences. It's the same way we read the Bible.
Yes.
The reason why all those experiences that people, those were real people that were in the Bible, that went through whatever they went through. You look at the story of Hannah. That's a true story of someone who went through infertility and barrenness, and they were given that hope. To give someone hope today, you look at the story of Esther. It's a real story of someone who came from nothing to be a queen. To show people today that you can actually be nothing today, but tomorrow you can wake up a queen. You look at the stories of Samson, that there's a way, no matter how far you go, you can always come back to God.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the story of David. I think David is God's most favorite person,
mm-hmm.
because what David did and all he did, and still he remains a person that God says he was after my own heart,
mm-hmm.
as human as he was. And all those things were recorded because God knew that there is someone.
Mm.
But now, I don't know, maybe we need to keep on expanding the Bible. But maybe this is our way of expanding the Bible.
Mm.
My experiences, I've had people that came to my inbox and said, you know what, I'd never looked at things that way.
Okay.
Like, for example, I share my infidelity journey.
Sure.
And I say, I've gotten to a point where I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
If I then have a child, it's fine. It's God's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, I'm still very much okay and content at being where I am in that journey.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? So I want someone else to feel that comfortable. To say, I'm not saying people must not have hope,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that you have to get to a point where you feel that comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
To be in the situation that you're in and live in that situation that you're in.
All right.
I share my hilarious stories of embarrassing things that have happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
To show that at the end of the day, no matter how successful I get, mm-hmm. I'll always be human.
Okay.
I'm human. That's why I share. I don't... You know the thing with success. This is the thing with success that I've seen, that a lot of people now then tend to think that you're some sort of superhuman.
Sure.
And you don't go through things.
Mm.
And there's the most scariest thing that I've heard people saying to me is, Geraldine, your goals.
Mm.
I want to be like you. I'm like, girl, what you thinking of? No. It's scary.
Okay.
You
okay.
get it?
Mm.
And I've had people, young, especially young people, coming up to me and saying, Geraldine, we listen to your story. I love the way you are. I look at you and one day I want to be like you.
Mm.
I want to have a marriage like yours.
Mm.
I want to have a career like yours. I want, you know, and I'm thinking, God, are you sure? Like, are you really sure you want to go down the road?
Mm.
Anyone ever think I'm perfect?
You don't want that whole, yeah. So you just want to be human.
I just want to be me, and I yeah. want to be free to be me.
Okay.
I don't mind if I'm a millionaire or I'm a billionaire. If I feel like dancing, I want to dance.
Okay.
If I feel like screaming and making noise in the road, I want to do that.
You want to do that?
I don't. So I don't want to make false expectations and make and model myself into this person that I'm not.
Okay.
And I want you, the person that you see on social media,
mm.
you saw me first on social media.
Mm.
Yeah, am I the same person that you see on social media?
Unfortunately, I saw you before social media, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I guess maybe I've got it.
You've got some sort of bias.
Yeah.
Okay, what you see, okay, let's rephrase that question. It's me now interviewing the interviewer.
Yeah, how nice.
We're turning the tables.
Mm.
How would you say that? Do I look what I portray on social media?
Yeah, judging from what I'm seeing right now, having a conversation, because this is the first time we're actually having a face-to-face conversation.
That's why I'm saying,
you're just the same Geraldine. The vibes, the everything. I think you can just check out the vibe straight from social media. This is exactly what I'm getting right here.
Yeah, what you see is what you get.
Exactly.
So I don't want to have that false. Someone missed me. The person, hey, what I thought. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
If you like me on social media, you're gonna like me in person. Mm-hmm. If you don't like me on social media, then you're not going to like me, and it's okay.
Wow.
I'm not ice cream, I'm not money. No one is gonna, not everyone is going to like me, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah. You know.
All right, I get it. Okay, so my next question, however, is these issues that we have spoken about. You've spoken about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You've spoken about infertility.
Mm-hmm.
These are very sensitive subjects, and I'm thinking, do you think that these subjects, people have been educated enough, like as far as these subjects are concerned?
I think the problem in our society is that there are certain things that are taboo.
Mm-hmm.
There is the, and especially in in faith-based circles, mm-hmm. There's the issue of sex, there's the issue of mental health, and issue of things like infertility. Mm-hmm. People think that it's not okay to be not okay. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. So when you're going, I want to first start to address mental health. Mm-hmm. When you're going through stuff, mm-hmm. because you are a Christian, people expect you to be okay about not being okay. Mm-hmm. That, oh, in this situation, God, you're my strength. And I start singing the hymns. I'm not saying that people must not do that. Mm-hmm. But people must be okay with not being okay. Mm-hmm. And accept and acknowledge that I am not okay.
All right.
So many people, like, I remember when I was going through stuff, and then there's this other lady that was talking to me and trying to comfort me, and they were like, remember the story of Job? And I looked at her and I said, I'm not Job.
Okay.
I said okay, that. Okay. And I said, I don't want to be Job.
Mm.
I don't want that situation in my life. I refuse it. I don't want it. Mm. Then she's like, no, but those things were put. And I'm like, no, I have to be okay with not being okay. I remember I was talking to a certain pastor and I was saying, yeah, I'm mad at God.
Mm.
We have to get to a point where you accept that I'm actually really mad at God.
Mm.
I am mad at him and I've told God that I'm mad at you.
Mm.
And we should not shun people who say that and are open about that, about not being okay.
Mm.
Because we are Christians, or we've chosen to value Christianity, we think that when we go through stuff, we're supposed to take it lying down.
Mm.
That because I'm a Christian, I'm just going to put my head on the side and I'm not going to be sad about it. I'm going to be happy in my tears. You even see the hymns that we sing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying it has been a very big contribution to mental breakdown of people, and coupled with the African society where you're told you're going through marital problems, do you get it? So they don't give room that you're okay. If you're a man, men don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Yes.
So society has created strong weak men that are supposed to be strong, but they're their weak inside.
Eish.
Because they don't express what they're feeling. And the issue of going to a therapist is very much taboo. Mm-hmm. If I tell people that I'm going to a therapist, they think that, oh, she's losing it. She's now mentally disturbed.
Okay.
Like mentally disturbed isn't going kokai, kokai, kokai. But my mother-in-law always used to say everyone is mentally disturbed, it's just the degree that differs.
Okay, all right. As we go into conclusion now, what would you say to other young women and people in general who are probably facing the same problems that you have faced?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, some are suffering in silence. Some are almost getting into depression. Some are in different situations, you know, because people respond differently to these things. So what would you want to advise, you know, people going through struggles of that nature?
All right. So before I hadn't tackled the infertility part. Where it's taboo to talk about infertile and being infertile, and also where people always assume that it's the woman who's the problem.
Mm.
It really gives a lot of... Yes, sometimes, yes, the woman is the problem because we've got very intricate systems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way society then responds to it. Maybe people don't talk about it because of the way society responds to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing of people saying, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? Mm. Don't ask that question. It's not your business. Even if the person can have kids, it's really none of your business. Some questions are best not asked because you don't know. Now, when someone asks me, I look them straight in the eye like, I can't have kids.
Mm.
And then I can see the discomfort that comes. So why are you asking?
Hey.
that discomfort. So I think also because of society, people don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be shunned. And this whole thing of when you're infertile, people assume, especially when you're infertile and you're rising, people assume that you did some moti somewhere.
Okay.
And, you know, so people look at you and thinking that, akaita mshonga. Saka shinja ke shisi rukufamba, but akajikavana. Such things. Or we've gotten to a stage where people don't even tell us when they're pregnant because they think that we're using their children to do things. Because that's how infertility comes, but it's not that. It's science, it's medical. So it's a whole lot of that, and people need to start talking about it, that someone can be fatal as not badam shonga. Someone can be fatal as not bubira bisa numbo. You know, as I remember the first time I started talking about it, women from church came to me and said, you know, I think the problem is that if you have, you know, before when you get pregnant, you should make them close your uterus because, you know. So they were trying to say it in a polite way, but they were trying to tell me that in your youth when you were busy removing pregnancies, now these are the consequences. But there are some people like me who are born like that. And you don't have to assume the worst. So now to your question, what advice would you give to people that are going go through your life? And because I'm dealing with it publicly, doesn't mean someone else has to deal with it publicly. But the most important thing is that you have to deal with it. Don't bottle it up. If talking about it makes you feel better, talk about it. If the people that you are living with are toxic about the situation, personally, I've been blessed. My husband and his family, they are very great people. They have never shunned me because of the whole situation. I remember when we went to tell my in-laws, because I said to my husband, we have to tell them. I told them, and they said that what we married was you, the children are a blessing. Those are the exact words my mother-in-law used. And for me, that was important, and that support. And to the husbands of the people that are going through that, you need to stand by your person. Because when you got married, you didn't get married for children. You could have had children with anyone else. But you married this person for their character, companionship, whatever you married them for. If you wanted children, you should have gotten a surrogate mother. And they would have had children for you very easily.
Specifically
for that. if that's what you were looking for, a baby-making machine. But you got this person for companionship and to have someone to build your life with.
Okay.
So for the people that are going through situations like infertility, I'm saying deal with it. Don't let it eat you up. And don't let what people say get to you. Because so many people have ended up doing so many things, getting cut, their uterus is going to be, under the whatever tree, doctors trying to make that work. And just to make yourself go through so much for people. At the end of the day, those people are not even going to help you take care of those children. Maybe there's a reason that God is not giving you at that point, because he knows that at this point, maybe I want Geraldine to rise to this level of influence. Then I'll give her children and she can have the time with the children. Because God, if God gives me the children, I was laughing with my other friend. I'm like, and if I had a child, I think I would forget my child at school. I simply say that because I'm so busy. I said I will forget that child every day, I promise you. I would then say, oh, maybe it's 8 o'clock. Where is the child? She needs to sleep. And the child would have been at school because of the way I'm so busy. So maybe God saw that person and said, okay, fine, I'm going to give Gerald the child, but not now. Let her rise.
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
Okay.
Or maybe God saw that, this one, this one, no. It's okay, she'll have other children to love. She'll go like that. It's fine. You know?
Yeah.
And there was a reason why that happened. So you have to come to a point where you are okay with it yourself. You're okay with the situation. And know how to deal with the situation. Get therapy. Get someone to talk to. Don't talk to people in similar situations to know that you're not alone. And don't stay in toxic relationships. if someone, I know I'm Christian, I told you that I'm a controversial Christian. If someone is not treating you well because of something that you can't control, then that person is not worth being in your life. Leave, go.
You know what? I will talk to you all day. I will talk to you all day. Okay, because you've got so much to share. You've got so much to share. So anyway, in conclusion, what does the future hold for Geraldine Matela, business-wise, personally? Well, what do you think you want to achieve in the near future?
In the near future, the dream still remains the same, being the largest digital agency in Africa. Mm-hmm. And also, we just want to be happy, I think, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
We choose happiness over everything else.
Wow.
And, yeah, I think so. And also, not just that, I want to start other multi... I've got a hardware, I've got a farm, I'm a farmer. It's things that I want to think about growing. Yeah, and you know, I'm a business person at heart, and also growing with others for me. It's, I'm thinking on going with looking for money for small entrepreneurs, being an investor in small businesses that people don't want to believe in.
Okay.
No, I'm still working that. That's still a pipe dream at this moment, but it's something that we've already started thinking about and talking about. And also, the other thing that I'm working on is collecting indigenous traditional medicines. Our old people are dying with their knowledge.
Okay.
So I want to have that thing where we go to old people and they tell us that this heals this heals cancer, this heals that, this does this, and have that knowledge and we preserve it. And when you see me going to the hospital, it's like the last thing. I don't go to hospital for a flu, I don't go to hospital for a burn, I don't, because I know that Mutsine Kanaone Shirundam Kanwa, you just take those leaves, you crush them, you put them in 2 hours, they'll have disappeared.
Okay.
But we don't know all that.
Mm.
If you've got piles, if you go and take aloe vera, the aloe thing, you just put it and you apply for a few days, it goes away.
Alright.
If you've got a headache, if you just take ginger tea, or you crush it and you take the ginger, it's okay. If you've got a flu, you know, those things, those small things that we're not supposed to be taking chemicals. I'm passionate about that. I remember my team always used to say, you're modenganga, because they would come and say, someone say, I've got a tummy ache, or do you have activated charcoal? Not activated charcoal. Or I would have my activated charcoal in my pocket, in my desk, and I would give them. And in the afternoon, they're okay. Boss Napora, I'm okay. You're more than thing, Anka. Yes, boss. So,
yeah, wow. All right.
So that's one thing that I would want to explore.
All right.
Of course, I want to be a billionaire.
How nice.
Yeah.
So she wants to be a billionaire. And like you said, I'm sure you can run a surgery from what you said and from what you're telling me right now. Yeah, you can run a surgery. You've got a bit of passion in that. So, Geraldine, let me take this opportunity to thank you for coming through to the weekend chapter, the Movers and Shakers segment, and to gracing us with your presence. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for being patient with me. I'm so happy that you did this. I'm humbled. It's a very humbling experience when people just reach out to you and say, you know, Geraldine, we've been seeing what you're doing, and we want to talk about it. Wow. I feel very humbled and undeserving of the honor.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right. So it has been the program Movers and Shakers. So stay with us right here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.